Pacifico. Phil Hendrick.
You doing there?
Yeah, I'm doing. Love it.
Well, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, the News and Information Hour here, and we have we're just hanging here for this hour, looking at video of the Chinese military and the Korean military, because they have a fondness, those two countries, for showing their women in military garb, because they have quite a number of women in both the armed forces of China and North Korea, as Israel does. And they are in martial parades as the men are. And so you see these marching, especially Korean and Chinese women. And I say this with great respect to our own homegrown American ladies who are multiracial and multi-ethnic. And
yeah, but that's kind of racist, isn't it?
To say what? Why don't you get off it, okay?
Yeah, right. Racist.
What do you mean racist? America happens to have people of different background, nationality, and race.
Yeah, but what about China?
China ain't got that. They got Chinese. They got one kind and one kind only. We have many different varieties. The point I'm trying to make is the Chinese women are very beautiful. And I was in China in the early 80s. It ain't Korea, but this is as close as I can get to the whole discussion of Kim Jong-il, the fact that I was in China ogling the women. Now then.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Thank you. No, the Chinese women are gorgeous. And I was saying to Dan, it's amazing to see when you go to China, the beautiful women, honest to God, you're walking down the street, really beautiful women, and the men are the ugliest you've ever seen in the history of the world. Just
really?
Yeah, just the ugliest mugs you ever saw, and they're walking down the street with some chick that ought to be on a magazine cover. So, you know, it's one of life's great inequities.
Yeah, but they got to live under a communism and everything. It probably can't be that cool, so.
One of life's trade-offs, too, huh?
That's what I think.
Anyway, welcome back here, guys. 877-876-PHIL is our number, but this is our News and Information Hour, so we rarely do get into much in the way of phone calls. Some nights we just don't get into phone calls at all. But it's good to be with you. U.S. backs Apple in patent ruling that hits Google. Huh? A federal agency ruled on Monday that a set of important features commonly found in smartphones are protected by an Apple patent, a decision that could force changes in how Google's Android phones function. Oh, yeah. Now, the reason why that's significant is, guess what? BT has sued Google over its Android phone as well. What is BT? British Telecom. So Google has gotten hit from Apple, and now British Telecom is claiming billions of dollars of damages from Google in a lawsuit filed in the U.S., which says that the Android mobile operating system infringes a number of the telecom company's key patents. The lawsuit filed in the state of Delaware in the U.S., which is, I think, where a lot of legal corporations are located.
Why?
I don't know. Something about Delaware. Anyway, I really don't know, but I do. I've seen. Anyway, the lawsuit filed in the state of Delaware in the United States relates to six patents, which BT, that's British Telecom, not BTO, like you thought, bud.
No, I thought that was Bachman Overdrive, the lady.
You mean Michelle Bachman?
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, how'd you get that? Because her name's Bachman, what do you think?
Like, okay, so naturally that's Bachman-Turner Overdrive? Anyway, BT says they were infringed by the Google Maps, Google Music, location-based advertising, and Android market products on Android. If successful, the suit could mean that Google or mobile handset makers will have to pay BT royalties on each Android handset in use and which they produce. That could be expensive. Android is presently the most successful smartphone platform in the world, with its handsets making more than 40% of sales, equating to more than $40 million produced every quarter. Google recently said that more than 500,000 Android devices are activated every day. Now, put that together with the fact that Apple, as you know, is a pain in the ass morning, noon, and night. They claim rights to everything and everybody and your firstborn, which is fine. I guess that's what they're entitled to. But this federal agency ruling Monday that a set of important features commonly found in smartphones are protected by an Apple patent. So Apple's coming at them. British Telecom's coming at them. Your Android phone is going to cost a lot more because, you know, Google may have to pay off Apple and BT. Bacon, lettuce, and tomato. HTC, This is the defendant in the case and a Taiwan-based mobile phone maker using the Android system said in a statement after the ruling that it would adapt its features to comply with the court's decision. The company called them smart parts of the user's experience. Taiwan, huh?
Bell, I bet you that means they'll do a violation on the patent right as we speak.
Not necessarily, but it's Taiwan. It ain't mainland China. Mainland China, they don't respect anything or anybody. There'll be a guy over there calling himself Robert Leonard and making masks to look like you if it could make him some money.
Yeah, it wouldn't make him no money. Yeah, it wouldn't make no money to you either.
All right, okay. But the point that I'm making here is that China, they rip off copyright, they rip patent off. The Chinese, man, they're out there, they're doing business their way, which I'm not necessarily, I'm not necessarily jumping on them for that because that's what they are. I mean, have the Chinese ever done it any other way? Well, the thing that pisses me off is that they now have people here in the States and in Europe that are backing them up.
Who? Who's backing them up?
Well, I'm not necessarily with the patent thing, although maybe there's a lot of internet freedom people and so on and so forth that feel, well, you know, it's China. And you can't reasonably expect them to respect all these copyrights. I don't reasonably expect them to do anything other than this. If they have something that they didn't create, then acknowledge they didn't create it. But the other part of it, of course, is the Chinese, along with our Indian friends and our Brazilian friends and our deep, respected Russian friends and all of our deep, sweet, loving, hunching friends, they're out there belching charcoal into the air and coal into the air, charcoal, as in briquettes. At the rate of thousands and thousands of tons, God knows how often, and it's polluting the air that, yes, even the 99% in Africa have to breathe, as well as the 99% here in America, which, as we all know, is the most suffering 99% on the face of the earth. They're all breathing that stuff, courtesy of the Chinese, and we've got guys over here that are backing them up on that.
You kidding me? You're talking about Al Gore. Everybody knows he's a douche.
Yeah. Well, no, I ain't just talking about Al Gore. I don't necessarily want to jump all over Al Gore because, you know, these people, they become sort of flashpoint or they become symbols of the larger demon. I'm just saying, any fool, you know, but this is talk radio. See, when I say these things, and because I'm such an entertaining guy and because I'm such a great broadcaster, and I am, and there's more and more of us who are great broadcasters have to say this, because otherwise people ain't going to know what good broadcasting is. I happen to have that opinion. It isn't because I'm a conservative. I just happen to have that opinion about that issue. I don't, there's no ideology happening here. I'm not sitting here saying, hello and welcome to Sea to Shining Sea. Everything that Obama does is crap. Phil Hendry Show. No. I got more respect for your intelligence than that.
Not much more.
No, not much more, but I mean, yes, I do. I got far more respect for the average intelligence of human beings than to come on here and pretend like everything that is, you know, conservative I believe in or everything that's liberal I believe in. You got to be some kind of a fool to, number one, talk that way, and number two, believe that somebody is actually that way in real life, because they're not. Anyway, the reason why that kind of radio probably doesn't, that's why we do a comedy show. I'm not going to do a political show because I can't tell you what I am. And you're not going to be able to have a successful show unless you say you're a liberal or a conservative. People don't know what the hell it is you're talking about. Unless you say that, they don't know what you're talking about. Radio, the way talk radio has been constructed, and in our opinion, the way talk radio has been ruined, the way talk radio has been raped and perverted and undermined, is unless you have a conservative show, and in some cases a liberal show, nobody knows what the hell it is you're talking about. The audience probably knows better than the average general manager or program director of these stations.
Try going to tell those guys that.
Those clowns would be sitting there scratching their rear end, walking out of the room going, what did he just say? But I ain't going to sit here and tell you that I'm, I hate Al Gore. I don't hate Al Gore. I don't hate Al. Anybody that says they hate Al Gore needs a freaking psychiatrist, any more than anybody says they hate Obama or they hate Michelle Bachmann. How do you hate people like that? I don't hate her. I make fun of her. I don't want her to be president. I
wouldn't mind taking her to bed.
Shut up, will you?
God, man, Oh,
man, it ain't that bad.
Ooh.
Oh, bud, take it easy.
Dog, talking about going to bed with Michelle Bachman. Yeah.
Take it easy, will you?
Oh, man. Made a big deal out of it. What are you making a big deal out of it for, man?
All right, we got you. We got you.
You was laughing.
Yes, I was. That was that was very funny. Ooh.
That is a sick thought.
Oh, back it off a little bit. Okay, Charlie, some of the... You were just a minute ago drooling over some goose-stepping Korean chick. God.
Look better than Bachman. I don't think so.
Take it easy, man. All right, we're going to come back here. So how about that, huh? Google and whoever the hell... Google's going to get their... How did I get off on Al Gore talking about Google? Well, the reason is simply this. Either we're going to have countries that are going to comply with these international agreements, or they will not. Coming back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show, there's a new Batman movie out. You want to hear about that? Yeah. And another political party called Americans Elect. You heard about this? Well, you will in a moment. World-famous Phil Hendry show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
We just discovered something here on YouTube, and
I think it is probably from the Olympic.
This is some Olympic footage of the Chinese as they were preparing for the Olympics, and they had these corps of this brigade of female soldiers in blue. I'm telling you the truth, in like a tight blue miniskirt with, you know, automatic weapons. And sidearms and go-go boots. I'm telling you, as God is my witness. And we're showing it right now on Phil TV and HD. And, right, bud?
Yeah. They got like a, looks like a Uzi.
Little tiny Uzi-style automatic, you know, like a machine gun of some kind. And they have a sidearm. And they got these little blue belted miniskirts and go-go boots and berets. It must have been for the Olympics, you know?
Well, what do you mean Olympics, man? I don't get that.
Well, why else do you put a soldier in a miniskirt?
But, I mean, why did you say Olympics?
Well, what else is the reason they do it for?
Maybe that's how they dress them now.
Oh, that's right, man. Sure. That's, yeah. The Chinese are sending their female soldiers into battle in miniskirts. I bet I got money that said...
They're probably like the ushers in a movie theater. Are you nuts or something, man?
Not a movie theater, you idiot. Probably in the stadium for the athletic events. There's security. There's security. So... you know, you think that there's these, you know, very attractive young ladies showing you this, you know, what's going on, and here's your seat, and thanks very much, and drop dead, whatever. And if any crap breaks out...
Yeah, they're going to fill you full of lead.
They just open up on you.
Well, that feels good.
Yeah. So anyway, they're marching down this, you know, a parade ground, and they're doing this... Look at this. They're showing off their go-go boots. This is the nuttiest thing I ever saw. And they're doing these goose-stepping drills. You know, the Chinese military. What is it with these military with the goose-step? I don't get it. But they're doing it. And, Bud, you are the sickest animal.
You want to lay on your back with a camera. You said it, not me.
So, anyway, that's the that's what did happen. But we are looking at some of this martial footage of these the marshaling soldiers from that part of the world because of Kim Jong-il. And who cares, you know? But when that guy died, man, Twitter went ape.
Everybody's doing a Twitter jokes.
Yep, everyone with a Twitter joke. And King Kong, messing his name up, King Kim Ding Dong, and King Kong is dead, and, you know, the Wicked Witch is dead and all this. And, you know, we just spotted Kim Jong-il, and he mama cast a ham sandwich and all of this ridiculous stuff. So it kept Twitter alive for a couple of days, but... it was the big story. Now, whatever. But the thing of it is, they were saying, does this mean that Korea is going to be worse? Are they going to be better? It seems to me like the way these things go is that when these heavy hitters nowadays, not if it was the old times, like 30, 40, 50 years ago, that guy croaks and another guy takes over and he's just as much of a douchebag as the guy ahead of him. But now the way the world is going, Even in North Korea, which is under a veritable media blackout, or virtual, I should say, media blackout, that the Korean people might say, excuse us. What are you talking about? We have to... No, you ain't doing nothing, because I seen on TV the other day where they had a revolution in Syria. No, I was wrong. That's a propaganda. Get out of here, propaganda. My brother showed it to me. He came back from Syria on a goodwill mission. No, bullcrap. Bullcrap. And another thing we saw in Iran, and a bunch of Americans eating ice cream cones and going to the movies, too.
Yeah, we want some of that. Yay!
You know.
That's probably what they'll say.
Maybe. But then if you do that in Korea, they open up on you with automatic weapons, just like in Syria.
I don't understand that. What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? I didn't do it. They did it.
Yeah, I know. But you said they open up on you an automatic weapon.
Yes.
Where?
In Syria, you idiots. Haven't you been looking at the news?
Well, they're killing people?
They've killed 3,000 people. They've killed 3,000 people over there since March.
Get out of here.
You think I'm kidding, man? Look it up. They've been gunning them down in the streets. Where the hell have you guys been?
I don't know. I've heard about it. I thought they were kidding.
Kidding? They're not kidding about anything. The people over there are having a revolution. And the people that are running the show, they don't want the revolution to happen.
Yeah, but they didn't go gunning them down.
Hey, bud, are you calling me a liar? I read the news. You don't. They're going... You take a look at the news. Everybody that goes out in the streets in Syria, they machine gun their ass. Now, that's just facts. I ain't making that up. And the Arab League, you guys know what that is?
Yeah, it's a bunch of countries.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, a bunch of countries. Even those guys are disgusted. Even they're saying, yeah, this is not good. You guys got to cool it out, or we're going to lay some sanctions on you. So, you know... Meanwhile, back here in the good old USA, Americans Elect, a privately financed group attempting to run a major third-party candidate for the White House, won a spot on California's 2012 ballot on Monday, a milestone in its quest to give voters an alternative to President Obama and his Republican challenger. California is the 12th state to award Americans Elect a ballot line in the 2012 presidential race. The group hopes its ticket will appear on the ballot in all 50 states. To earn its place on the California ballot, Americans Elect submitted the signatures of more than 1 million registered voters. An Americans Elect spokeswoman said the group had already won presidential ballot lines in 5 states, Ohio, Florida, Michigan, Colorado, Nevada. All right, that's all well and good, but who the hell are they going to run for president? It also won in 6 others, Utah, Mississippi, Kansas, Arkansas, Arkansas, Alaska, why don't they call it Arkansas, and Arizona.
Use that to be retarded.
Oh, okay, thanks. Look at, here's some goose-stepping mini-skirted chicks in red dresses.
Man, I want to go there. I want to go there, I want to live there.
Yeah, you live there, they'll put you in the gulag.
In the gulag. This had to have been something for the Olympics. All right. The history of third-party presidential contenders over the last century has been one of failure. Even for those who mounted high-profile campaigns, Theodore Roosevelt lost in 1912. Theodore Roosevelt was part of what party?
He was a Republican.
No, but when he ran for Bull Moose.
What?
Bull Moose was the name of the party. George Wallace in 1968, he was in a party called American Independence. John Anderson in 1980, and I don't think he was in any party. I think he was just John Anderson. H. Ross Perot was in the Jack Ball Express, and no, he wasn't, I'm just kidding. H. Ross Perot in 92, and in 1996, he ran again, and Ralph Nader in every election since 1996 as part of the Jivass Commission. What party's he in?
You look like a Peace and Freedom Party.
Peace and Freedom, that's right, yeah. Ralph Nader, boy, did he ever... Do you think Nader's going to run again?
Yeah, he'd run all the time.
I don't think he is.
Why not?
Because of that Uncle Tom thing.
Oh, yeah.
What'd he do?
He said when they asked him about Obama, he said, we're going to have to keep an eye on Obama. Is he going to be, this and that, or is he going to be an Uncle Tom? And he made the comment to Shepard Smith on Fox when it was the day after his inauguration. So the country was feeling, I think the country, for the most part, was feeling pretty good because an African-American had been elected president. And that was, you cannot deny this. As white America was, I will tell you this, if you're black, you probably suspect it. A lot of white people don't want to admit it. But whites in this country were very happy to see, many were happy to see an African-American become president just to prove a point, if nothing else, that yes, a black man can become president in this country. Whether that's cynical, whether that's good, whether that's bad, I personally thought that there were aspects of it that were very good. To be proud of your country, to be able to do something like that, you know, that this racist Berg that everybody talked about was, you know. All right, we're going to come back here in a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, with the music drowning me out. I'm kidding. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. And what I was rolling here earlier, actually during the pre-show, was some other video. It was actually a really good video of the Transformer exploding. And I think we've got it for you right now. The Transformer exploding outside of Candlestick Park during the game. The Monday night game, Monday night. Where are we now? Yeah, so it's Tuesday morning, and I'm going to show this on Phil TV and HD right now. We also, we've got a couple of views of it. But what happened was this. There was an aerial shot from ABC, and ABC had the blimp or whatever the hell it is they got up in the air, right? So they're doing an aerial shot. It might have been KGO. It might have been the local. ABC, which is ESPN. Nonetheless, the aerial shot, we're going to put this on Phil TV right now for you. The aerial shot shows this. Now look to the lower left of the screen, and you're going to see, boom, look at that, bang. The stadium goes out. There was an explosion in the lower left of the screen. Stadium goes dark. And it was a fairly significant explosion. There was a spark shower. And here is a close-up of it. Boom, spark shower, and now the stadium goes dark. Boom, a little bit of a spark shower, stadium goes dark. Big explosion. And the stadium had a power outage three different times. There's the explosion again. Out it goes. So they must have had a backup generator of some kind to power the lights back on. But it was very significant. It's off to the left of the screen. I think it was on the bay side of the... And it was so bright of an explosion, or so bright of whatever that was, some kind of a short, that it was visible from as high as the blimp, and quite visible. And again, this spark shower, I sure hope that there wasn't anybody near that when it happened. I don't know if it was raining up there or not. It's been raining in Southern California. Who knows? Some guy said that, what did they say, bud?
Yeah, the one guy on TV said they never had an outage.
No, they said they never have an outage
since the World Series.
Since the World Series?
Yeah, and before.
So yeah, so this guy said that was a first... For Candlestick Park. Why are they calling it Candlestick? I thought it was 3M or 3Com or Your Mom. What the hell is it called?
Yeah, I guess it's still Candlestick.
Maybe they lost the sponsor.
Yeah, maybe they lost the sponsor, huh? Why don't they just call it Candlestick and be done with it? So whatever happened up there happened. Now, here is the story that ran as the Steelers were down 13-3 over the 49ers. Let me see here. The power outage just before kickoff and another in the second quarter blacked out Candlestick Park in San Francisco's biggest home game since the 2003 playoff stunner over the New York Giants. Power returned. The game resumed after delays of 20 minutes and 15 minutes. No doubt there was fans and flashbulbs popped all over the stadium as the stadium suddenly went black. What happened was Deshaun Goldson intercepted a pass by Ben Roethlisberger on Pittsburgh's second possession that led to a 38-yard field goal by Akers, the field goal that gave Akers the franchise record for most points of the season of 141, passing the 138 set by Hall of Fame receiver Jerry Rice, who was in attendance on the sideline in 1987. Then suddenly...
All the lights went out.
All the lights went out. Again, for the second time in the evening, fans roared... And flashbulbs popped all over the stadium. Players scurried to the sidelines, and the terrible towels that a sea of Steeler fans had waved could no longer be seen in the darkness. NFL security chief Jeff Miller said he witnessed a transporter blow as he was monitoring a gate outside the stadium. And that's what we just showed you guys. He said the problem appeared to be on a power grid outside that is affecting the stadium's power, giving the NFL confidence the game could be completed. Fans long waiting for a meaningful December at Candlestick had to wait a little longer for this primetime matchup. The power throughout the stadium also went off the first time about 25 minutes before the scheduled kickoff. At 5:40, the public address system stopped working and fans were left in the dark until an emergency light came on in the far corner of the stadium. The power first started to come back on in the press box and the scoreboard ring around the stadium about 15 minutes later. Got cheers from the Steelers and 49er fans. Boom, ba-boom, ba-bing, ba-bing, ba-bing. In the second half, the focus finally returned to football. There you go, man. You know.
That's the first time maybe it was terrorism.
And maybe it wasn't terrorism, bud.
Yeah, but it was the first time.
Look at everything. Just calm down. You know, everything is not terrorism, okay? You remember when the lights went out? When was that? That was like 6-7 years ago when the whole Eastern Seaboard went to hell in a handcart and the problem was in Canada? You guys probably don't remember. It was about, I'd say it's about 6-7, maybe 7 years ago. Yeah, the whole Eastern Seaboard went out, man. And that's when we all started learning something about the three different grids that we have in the United States, electrical grids. And we learned something that at that time was interesting. It didn't seem all that significant, but we have three grids in the United States. We have the Eastern Seaboard grid, or the East grid. We have this Western grid that we're on out here. And the third one is, what do you think it's called?
What do you mean, grid?
I mean, individual power supplies. There's three of them in the United States. And I don't know whether they actually cross over into each other. I don't think so. I think they are three. The third one is Texas, the Texas grid.
How'd they get that, man?
They got that because that's the way things developed. You understand that Texas at one time was, so was California, a republic. But for whatever reason, Texas, the size of the state, and the way things just sort of fell into place in terms of where all the power was going to go, Texas is on its own grid. So the whole damn country could be out of lights and out of electricity and out of everything, and there's Texas sitting there, pretty as you please.
That's suspicious. Like they're looking at, they're looking to succeed, or however they say that.
Not succeed, not succeed. Succeed, okay? And no, they ain't looking to do that. But yeah, that was part of... It was very interesting, I thought, when the lights went out. Astronauts on the International Space Station, speaking of the lights going out, are planning a big holiday bash to welcome three new crewmates who are slated to arrive just before Christmas. The addition of three more space flyers on Friday will double the population of the orbiting lab, bringing it back up to full operational strength after a month of skeleton crew levels. That's good news for scientists keen to maximize the space station's research potential. And boy, are they hoping they're female, because it's getting real gamey up there with nothing but guys. No, they didn't say that.
Yeah, it probably is.
No, I don't think they're up there that long. Well, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, we'll celebrate the holidays in great fashion after they get here. Station Commander Dan, this cut off the story. One of the people said, we've already put up decorations and Dan Burbank is his name. Burbank and his two cosmonaut colleagues, those are the Russians, okay?
Why do you call them cosmonaut?
This is what they call them. You know, we call our guys astronaut, as in star, and they call theirs cosmonaut, as in universe or space. It's just their thing, man, you know?
Then I have one name, or not two.
Who cares? Burbank and his two cosmonaut colleagues, Anton Skaplaplaplda, and Anatoly, another Russian name, are the, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but you know, whatever. They're at the International Space Station at the moment. They arrived on November the 16th, and like that, man. That was that, and just a couple of other things. Now, here's the story you guys wanted me to do, and I think that, I think your reasons for it is cynical.
I just wonder if anybody cared.
I think I should say.
Yeah, see, I told you do it.
All right, we're talking about Chaz Bono. I think he's like any other celebrity. Women are going to be interested in him because he's famous. Chaz Bono and Jennifer Ilya break off their engagement. It's been a long day for separation, or big day for separations. American Horror Story actress Jessica Lange and hubby Sam Shepard let out the news that they've been separated for 2 years now. Wow. I thought they've been married a long time. Now, after recently announcing their engagement, Chaz Bono and fiancée Jennifer Ilya have also called it quits. Ilya realized that Bono used to be a chick, and the whole thing went south.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. The breakup is shocking and a little bit sad. It's not shocking. Why is it shocking? After meeting through friends years ago, the long-term couple decided to get engaged, but didn't make it official until recently. In November, OWN, that's Oprah Winfrey Network, aired a documentary following Bono called Being Chaz. During the special, the Dancing with the Stars contestant proposed to Ilya and gave her a lovely ring. Unfortunately, the happy moment was to be short-lived. Strangely, Bono chose Twitter as his outlet for discussing the breakup. The transgender activist and son of Cher and Sonny Bono seems to be level-headed about the whole breakup. Thanks for your concern about our separation. I'm doing fine, and we remain on good terms with nothing but respect and affection for each other. According to E! Online, Bono's publicist, Howard Bragman... Also, what a great name for a publicist, Howard Bragman.
Why?
Brag, as in Big Mouth. Anyway, just kidding, but it's a good name. Howard Bragman...
Maybe he had his name changed.
Maybe. Howard Bragman has asked that the couple's privacy be respected during their troubled time. Although no one has really called them and bothered them, so Howard Bragman released this statement asking that their privacy not be respected and that they be called in the... No, he didn't say that, bud. Don't grab the paper.
I just want to know if he said it.
He didn't.
Making it up, man. You make up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's me, man. I make up a lot of stuff. Howard Bragman has asked that the couple's privacy be respected during their troubled time. Bono's had kind of a rough-and-tumble year, being criticized by certain factions for being on Dancing with the Stars. Why? Who would criticize him for that?
I don't know, man. Maybe the gay rights don't like it.
Gay rights? It's transgender. It's transgenderism.
Transgenderism. Well, whatever it is, why would anybody... What's the problem? I mean, maybe, you know, you laugh about it. I mean, it's kind of a whack thing. This country and the things, the changes that have gone on in terms of our attitude, in terms of what we are respecting and what we're accepting, which is fine with me. It's fine with me, but I can tell you that things can go pretty fast, you know, and people got to get up to speed on certain stuff. Like, for instance, I'm not really sure, I'm completely supportive of everybody and anybody to be happy. I'm not really sure how I feel about a guy that also has breasts and dresses like a chick teaching in a grade school. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, see, you're anti-gay.
Why do you call it gay, man?
Well, what is it?
It's like transgender. I'm being honest. You're right. I don't hate. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out where am I going with that, you know? And also a woman who has a beard but wants to be a guy, but also gave birth to a baby. See?
Yeah, man, it is kind of weird, but, you know, you got to respect the race. Well, not the race.
Yeah, it isn't race, right?
No, I don't think it's race. God, even I ain't that dumb.
Well, you got to respect it.
Yeah, I respect it, man. I'm not saying that I don't respect it. I'm not saying that she shouldn't be able to do that. I just don't know where I'm going to go with that. Hi, Bill, is it? Or is it Mary? Hi, Bill. Congratulations on giving birth to your baby. Thank you. According to E! Online, Bono's publicist, Howard... When am I going to finish reading this? Bragman said, Bono's had a rough time, blah, 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 blah. It's now falling on hard times with the ending of a long-term and important relationship. Luckily, he's pretty close to 2012. There's plenty of time to start a page in a new book, whatever that means. Why are you being overly... is this from TMZ?
I think so, yeah.
What's sad about it? I mean, in other words, why all the commentary? Hey, Chaz, welcome to the world of being a man. Okay? Welcome to the world of being a man! Well, Mr. Henry, are you saying it's different from being a woman? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. When it comes to having your heart broken, yes. Yes. We have different feelings. We have different ways of feeling things. And Chaz, all I can tell you is, welcome. You give her a ring. She says to you, thanks a lot. It's a beautiful ring. I think I'll keep it, and you can take the high road, man. Goodbye. So that's that. All right, we're going to be back here with the final segment of the radio show. We've got more entertainment news. Britney Spears is engaged to a guy by the name of Jason Trowick. and we're supposed to care. I do. And other stuff like that. And we'll wrap up some other news that we were looking at, including that American Elect Party. I want to get into who the hell is it that they're going to run for president. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Not me.
He's
but...
our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Iron Swine on a Phil Hendry Show.
Iron Swine, going out to investigate all the stuff that happened.
Tonight on Iron Swine, the power outage on a Candlestick Park.
How come that happened, Iron Swine?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Hold on. Ring.
Yeah, Iron Swine's office.
Yeah, man, I'm at Candlestick Park. The lights went out. I can't see nothing.
Who is this?
Ben Bodenberger.
Ben Rodenberger?
Yeah. I play on a Pittsburgh Steeler.
I'm on my way.
The Iron Swine's going out to Candlestick Park.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know, Iron Swine. I can't see nothing. I can't see to make a pass or nothing like that. And get my ass kicked.
That means I better get the light turned on because I'm not a 49er fan or nothing. Iron Swine goes to find out. Who are you?
I'm just a guy. I'm making some toast.
You can't have that toaster on. It blew the lights out.
Oh.
Iron Swine!
On account of that's what the... How come the light went out to the toaster?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good job, Iron Swine.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy job this week.
All I had to tell a guy to turn his toaster off.
Good. You got the toaster turned off. Jesus.
Well, not everything's a big Iron Swine thing.
Yeah, so I gathered. All right, well, good job. Iron Swine finds out why some cat was using his toaster. Very good. Welcome back to the show here, the Phil Hendry Show. I wanted to take another look at this story. That was kind of an interesting story. By the way, brought to you by, you know something, when you post a video on YouTube, it's not, I guess people can do whatever they want, but when you, nine times out of ten, I immediately go to another video if I see this. If I see something that I want, and I go to that video, and I see this long scrolling explanation, on October the 2nd, 1922, when a midget, and I see all this stuff, then I go, okay, thank you, I'm gone. So,
yeah, you don't look at a video then?
No, I don't. I can't take it. I can't take it, you know. I know, the reason why I went to the video is I wanted to see, you know, what, because I already know what I'm looking for, and I have a stinking hunch. People know that as well. All right. Wanted to take a look here just to see where this American Elect Party is. Now, this is not a third party. It's a group of people that want to run a third party candidate. They have money and they have enough signatures to get the candidates wherever on the ballot, and they have the signatures in a number of states. These states are in the South. They're also in the Southwest, and like I said, they've got enough people who at least signed these ballots, so that they could get a candidate on there. Now, what I'm doing here, man, is I'm looking for this American Elect. Isn't that the name of it, bud?
Yeah.
Well, what the hell, man? There's no news for America. Here it is. Capital alert. Americans elect get okay to put... Yeah, okay. Now, these guys don't have a candidate, though, do they?
They ain't got no candidate, but they're gonna be on the ballot.
Okay, so it says here that... great. Now I got an advertisement that I got to look at. It says here that these guys have... it's a Washington, D.C.-based group. They spent more than $2 million to collect 1.6 million California voter signatures as part of a national campaign. The group, which has now secured ballot access in 12 states, says its goal is to create a nonpartisan process to allow voters of all political leanings to choose an alternative presidential ticket. The Americans elect presidential and vice presidential nominees, which must come from different political parties, are set to be selected next June in the country's first online national nominating convention. The addition of Americans elect brings the number of parties cleared for California's ballot to 7. In all, 18 political groups have made the cut since the nominating process began in 1910. Now, the president and the vice president have to come from different political parties. Is that smart?
Why not?
Well, it's, you know, we've had that already in this country. It was a disaster. It was generally a pain in the ass than a kind of a blessing. You got a vice president that's ready to stick a shank in your back. Oh, well, check back here often, folks, for news on the whatever the hell the Americans elect. All right, so what a smash-bang way to start this week. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. We'll be back tonight with more. And don't forget to visit us online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for live streaming video. And don't forget that it is midday tomorrow to get in your orders at at our website, Phil Hendry Show's shop at our website. Get your Christmas orders in by midday today, to be honest with you. Midday Tuesday.
To be honest.
Yes, I was lying before. No, midday today. All right, we'll see you guys tonight. The world famous
Phil Hendry.